Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you for Jesus' name. In that name, we read how the winds cease and the waves are calmed. But Lord, I'm so thankful in the name of Jesus. My heart is calmed. I'm so thankful in the name of Jesus. My mind is at rest. Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you. Father, we give all thanks and glory to your Son. We thank you again for your marvelous plan of love that so gave to us, Jesus. Now, Lord, again, we know it has to be you and your Spirit and the power of your might that opens the Word up to us and opens our heart to receive the Word. Lord, I don't need to beg you for that. That's your purpose. That's your will. That's your desire, so insatiable it can't even be comprehended. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, may we submit to your love, to your love. That's the power. That's what causes us to will and to do of your good pleasure. It's knowing the love wherewith we are loved. Lord, open that more up to us today. Oh God, let us be lovers of your Son. Let us fall in love with him as he is in love with us. The time is short. You're wrapping things up. Oh, in them that love his appearing. Oh, with Paul, they'll receive that exalted crown, the lover's crown. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd open up your Bibles with me today, we're going to Romans. We'll begin in the 6th chapter. Just a little walk around the grace of God. Hallelujah. Romans 6, 6 and 7, we'll begin there. Knowing this. Isn't this something? Didn't just say it, it says knowing this. Listen to that. Don't doubt it. This is a big doubter, what we're going to read here. Because this gets in the way, this brain. Let this word take over. Knowing this. Listen to what he's saying. This is important. That our old man, ours, is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Praise God. Brothers and sisters, what we read right there, this is the greatest and only funeral of a Christian's life. Did you hear that? The greatest and only funeral of a Christian's life. We are crucified with Christ. And our old man is dead. Praise God. Once and for all. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, you in Christ today? Amen. Praise God. And I'm talking about in Christ, the blood of Jesus in Christ. That's the only in Christ there is. Not if you feel like you're in Christ or you think you're doing right. Have you accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior? Amen? Then you're in Christ. Amen. Know it. He said knowing this. Amen? Praise God. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And brothers and sisters, we're all every bit brand new. But as it says in Romans 6:11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have to reckon it. That means to count it. That means to add it up. Be determined that our old man is dead
And that's not just every day. That's every moment. Every single moment. All the idols and temptations of our life. All the idols and temptations. Let's get it real specific here. Of my flesh. No matter how real they seem, they're all but lies. Lies. The old man is dead. Know it. And then how we began today? Boy, we have a problem knowing that, don't we? You think about how is the only way you're ever going to know that. Because this mind can think it. This mind might be able to get it. But it's the mind of Christ, the only mind that knows it. See, I don't want to fight that mind. I want the mind of Christ to reign in me. I believe you're here today because you want the mind of Christ to reign in you. His is the mind that is true, free from all lies. His mind is the promises of God, which are yea and amen. His mind is the word of God. Amen? And it's impossible for his mind, the word, to lie. Amen? So we know that anything that opposes it is a lie. Amen? So let's go back to knowing this, that the old man is dead. Now, I often think that things don't appear that way. Often, I don't act that way. But I am so thankful to God that my salvation is not predicated upon my actions or what I think. But my salvation is because of the blood of Jesus that washed away all my sin. Isn't that simple? Isn't that precious? Isn't that just beyond wonderful? His promises are yea and amen. The Word of God tells us that his promises never change. No matter how much the lie that's reigning over my brain wants that thing to change so I can feel guilty, so I can feel that there's just no hope for me, so I can feel that I've got to do something good in a deed to change the course of what God has already promised. You see how the devil can get a hold of you and just continue to twist you and twist you and twist you and get you all out of sorts? That's called chaos. And I'll tell you what, when you're starting to sense chaos ever, and that's the Lord that convicts you, flee it. Flee it. Because chaos and twisting is not the mind of Christ. His mind is peace, and his mind is rest, and his mind is love. And I thank God that we can be encouraged in the very mind of Christ. But see, brothers and sisters, his promises never change. Even in my unbelief, he abides faithful. Amen? Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that he abides faithful? The Bible promises what we have just read, that we are free from sin. Us who are born of God, Christians, do not and cannot commit sin. Praise the Lord. How many of God's precious people, first of all, really know that? But how many, more importantly, of God's precious people really believe that? Because, see, that's something that I cannot quantify in my natural brain. Now, I failed today, Lord. How could I? No. You see, son, we started off wrong. I got to go. As a matter of fact, I went. Because you're crucified together with me, right? Nevertheless, I live. Wait, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh. Oh, isn't that precious? In the flesh. I groan in the flesh. I now live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, I believe you're seeing a beautiful picture, aren't you? You seeing the grace of God? Are you seeing the grace of God? That this Christ that lives in me, I live in the flesh. Oh, Lord. To be like him. Amen? But see, that's only going to be when I see him. Am I going to be like him? But see, we're on a course right now to be changed from glory to glory into his very image. See, brothers and sisters, we are under grace. Did you know that? Oh, yes. And it says in the Word of God in Romans 5:13, where there is no law, there is no sin. Why do I always want to bring law when it doesn't even exist in the realm that I live? Why does my brother or sister in Christ sometimes want to bring law into the place where we live? Because it doesn't exist. It was nailed to the cross. Where there is no law, there is no sin. Now, all of this precious encouragement, if you know your Bibles, came through none other than the Apostle Paul. But by the time he gets to chapter 7, Paul is beside himself. He'd been rejoicing, clicking up his heels. He had been so excited about this grace, this grace, this grace. And then this started working again. And he begins to groan and he begins to moan. And he says, oh God, the good that I would, I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Now, what he's saying there is, you know, I know the truth. But why am I still choosing the wrong thing? I believe you, Lord, but why can't I get away from this flesh and its desires? Now, I love how God deals with that. He didn't sit there and try to explain this out to Paul and all of these words and all of these different things. He says, no, we're not going to end it there, Paul. We're going to chapter 8, son. And Paul, I got one word for you. One little verse here. Paul, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that Paul didn't answer him back. I believe Paul was encouraged in the Spirit that that's the life I now live. I live by the faith of the Son of God, the Word of God. And the Lord has definitely and adamantly and fervently told me, honey, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what, that's our God. And you talk about how beautiful. Because see, God gave us his new life. He did. As we read, we are brand new because we have the life of Christ in us. Yet we're still in this weakened vessel of flesh. And we're there for one purpose, and that's to fight the good fight of faith 24/7. Oh yeah, you know it, don't you? As you fall more and more in love with the Lord, as you are encouraged in more and more scripture, that battle even gets more intense. It does. Because it takes more grace to go on with God. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The more you know, the more your flesh wants to do something. It's true. Think about even when people just get saved. The very first thing is there's such a zeal, they want to go out and do something. That's our first natural response. But then see, his marvelous grace, if you'll listen to him, said, honey, it will never be by your works. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. See, it's either of works or it's of grace. The two can never mix. And the more we go on with God, it's going to be more grace. Because we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. See, brothers and sisters, we cannot make one right move in our lives without faith. Faith is the only thing that causes us to make proper moves, godly moves, towards the things of God. My flesh cannot do that. My judgment cannot do that. My works and my feeling cannot do that. Only by believing the Word of God does that transpire in my life. Now, think about this again. He caused us to be vessels that live by faith moment by moment. He caused us to have this life of Christ in the flesh, to have faith moment by moment, because it's only faith that pleases God. Do you see how perfect he is? He set it up one way. Only my son is going to be magnified. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't this what it is really about? It's about Jesus. Yes? Sang about Jesus. Pray. We thank him. We glory. And isn't it wonderful that as Paul talks about, even in Ephesians, about the high watermark, the goal, the pressing, that wondrous to be filled with all the fullness of God, it's that we would be vessels to the praise and the glory of his grace. Not to the praise and the glory of my religious activities. Not to the praise and the glory of what a great neighbor I am. And I want to be a good neighbor. I want the love of God to flow through me. I want to have a mind that, you know what, I'd like to do a nice thing here and there. But I don't glory in that. I thank God that's an after effect of the love of Christ working in my life. Amen? Amen. Oh, yes. But most, and I'm talking most Christians, what happens to us, brothers and sisters, is the enemy is permitted to get us to feel just a little puffed up. Yes, that's right. You know that. Amen. Because this flesh can't help but feel that. We're all the same. It's our old man. Do you get that? We're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We're all in flesh. And but for the grace of God, there go I. We are not better one bit than any man. Know it. Know it. But praise be to God, when you became a child of the King, you're born of God. You have a new life. And you are highly favored by the Father. Praise his name. Now, going over to Romans 8. Oh, I love this. If you're still going to rely on that flesh, let's see. See where it's going to get you. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Oh, I meet people all the time. Oh, no, I talk to God. I go out on a rock and look at a tree. No, you don't. Only way you talk to God is in Jesus' name. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, I would never force anybody to do that. It's just too good. It's too rich. It's too much of a privilege. You need to go and taste that for yourself. That's what's so wonderful about our Jesus. Amen. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I am so heartbroken that oftentimes we as Christians, and so many Christians, stay there and never get out of verse 8. You have to have the Spirit rightfully divide the Word of God to you. Because if that is all you knew, oh, what a poor wreck the rest of your life is going to be. Do you understand that? Because if I just read that, they that are in the flesh cannot please God, I'm just done. And it really wouldn't even make sense to the Word of God of what we already read. The life I now live in the flesh. Huh? Do you see how it? That's why you have to rightfully divide the word of truth. Don't get caught up in the whispers of the devil trying to give you scripture and take them out of context. And he often does that, believe it or not, through other Christians that don't know the Word of God, that aren't free, that are just bound in guilt, that don't know any better and want to stumble your walk and bring you back into that bondage. Whom he has made free is free indeed. And if you want to go ahead and live your life carrying around chains, you're not bound by chains, you're just carrying them around. All he did was say was, let them go. Let them go. The old man is dead. I always appreciated how Brother Hill would express that. Quit dragging that old, decaying, dead carcass around. It stinks. It stinks. Why? Oh, because it just makes me feel so good. You know, I got to carry this guilt around and why I'm just such a wreck. Look at this. Lord, just, you talk about hurting the Lord's heart. Especially the Father. Oh, honey, I gave my son for that. That's a lie. Quit living a lie. You think about even as a parent. Think about how sad we are when our kids are lied to, when they live a lie. How much more so our Heavenly Father when he's given us truth. Praise his name. But see, it don't end there in verse 8. But ye are not in the flesh. Wait a second. You told me the life that I now live in the flesh. And now you're telling me, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this. And if Christ be in you, well, wait a second there. I read that Christ liveth in me. I read that I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Wait a second, I'm getting this now. And if Christ be in you, and he is, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Hallelujah. That's truth. That's who you are. Not the lie that tries to pin itself on you often. This is the life. You're of Christ. We need to believe it. Old things are passed away. Those old things, those lies, dead. Lie. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So be not conformed to this world. He's saying there, don't act like the world. Matter of fact, why would we act like it when we're not from here? Amen? I traveled over to Europe, went to Italy and England and all this. But, you know, I go to a foreign country. I don't even speak that language anyways. I don't try to act like I'm from Italy. It'd be kind of stupid. I really don't even speak Italian. Blah, 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 you know, like that. Well, I'm Italian. It'd be goofy, wouldn't it? Think you're a nut. How much more so when you're not of this world and you're a child of God and you try to conform to the things of this life? We're born of God. We are conformed to the image of Christ. We're citizens of heaven. We're seated in the heavens in Christ. That's who we are. And not only are we from or like him, but since we are born of him, we have his image. And I was thinking about my own sons. They have my image. And I have the image of my Father. And he tells me, son, be transformed. I put you in here to fight that good fight of faith. I put you in here against all natural odds to show that my son is well able, that he's able to deliver you.
Oh, and not just to get you out, but having you come out. Oh, as a mighty, mature, good, acceptable, and even perfect will of God, Son. Oh, my goodness, brothers and sisters. Let's, what lives in here, may it come to live outside of us. We need to get the Word of God, don't we? See, I've been so stuck and mired in defeat so many times in my life. Matter of fact, even this week a bit. But the Lord encourages. This renewing of our mind is stated in Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks, so is he. I love that verse. As a man thinks, so is he. You're going to be what this is telling you. Did you know that? Yep. So whose mind do you want telling you? Huh? Whose mind do you want telling you who you are and who you be? Huh? Well, I'll tell you what, I really want and need the mind of Christ. I want this word to tell me who I am. I need his mind to think, praise God. And yes, I still do fail a lot. But praise be to God, his mind renews me day by day, moment by moment, brothers and sisters. And each and every day, praise be to God, there's a change that comes. Now, oftentimes it's not as fast as I want. Most times. It's not as immense as I'm looking for. Oh, no. But his word washes me daily. And there's a little bit of a change every day. But brothers and sisters, if it's not, if it was as fast as I wanted, where would my faith be? Where would the beauty of waiting on the Lord be? Where would the faith in my life be to count those things which be not as though they were? Huh? Amen. See, that count, reckon, sum it up, believe, faith, that comes one way, by things you can't see. That things you can't feel. Situations that are completely opposite. That you know that God has promised that he will do. Oh yes. Brothers and sisters, without my inability, completely exposed. Did you hear that? Without your inability, completely exposed. How could you ever fully realize and admit that I can't do this and only he can? He'd been working on me. I've been fighting, but I wasn't fighting with faith. I was thrashing. I was on that race course just kind of running but beating the air. He said, son, we ain't going to do that. You're going to run. You're going to run well. And we're going to run right now. So finally, Paul glories, and this will be it. The light finally comes on. 2 Corinthians 11:30. He says, I will glory in things which concern my infirmities. Did you hear that? I will glory in things that concern my infirmities. I will glory in my weaknesses. I will glory in my thorns. That is the glory, the infirmities. And I want you to understand this. This doesn't mean just the frailty or the sickness or my lack of health, but it also means my corrupt desires. Did you hear that? Those that don't think that they have them in here, did you hear that? Because you've got them. Infirmities include your corrupt desires. Let's not go fantasize and be lied to by the father of all lies. As Paul said, I glory in things which concern my frailty, my sickness, my health. I even glory in things which concern my corrupt desires. Ooh, that just bothers Christians. And I'm so thankful. Oh, I'm so thankful to God those corrupt desires, as Paul is saying here, I glory in them. And why? Because without them, what would I have to overcome? Oh, brothers and sisters, with what we know, with what we have, with what we're fighting for, without these desires in my life, I would be puffed up. I would magnify my flesh for my achievements in the Word of God. God, enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Brothers and sisters, through my fleshly corrupt desires, through your fleshly corrupt desires, you have nowhere to look for strength but for the power of Christ to rest upon you. You see that? And don't you be anxious in here. The mind of Christ. Brothers and sisters, that mind of Christ that gets the grace of God to just really rest upon me, soothes me, and it takes me on to glory. And this is what he'd been really hitting me with as we finalize this today. It's glory with thorns. You're never going to go on to glory without the thorns. As Paul finally realized and finally got on his knees and broke before God, and when he ceased from himself, it wasn't just rest, it was praise and joy that came forth. And he says, oh, I get this. Without these thorns, the issues, the things I have sought you for so long in my life, it's not that I'm, don't get me wrong, that I'm just going to settle and again submit to sin, to let temptation come forth and to bring me into that realm of defeat. But Paul says, oh, I glory in my weaknesses. I glory in these things that are wrong with me. Because when I'm weak, he's strong. Because when I am in this time of weakness, I have to have the power of Christ to rest upon me. And as the Lord so sweetly, when he bore that crown of thorns, and you'll read of that, go in there and study that out. It was at the moment that they put that reed in his hand and stuck that crown of thorns on his head. And the world mocked him. The world mocked him and said, oh, he's the king. See, when I bear a thorn, the world mocks me. The thoughts of this flesh mock me. But I get it. I've got a thorn for you. You've given me a thorn that I might be glorified together with you. Because you bore them all for me. And you have given me this thorn for you. There will be no glory without the thorns. There will be no glory without the thorns. Let's bow our heads.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens, I will come into him and sup with him, to fellowship with him. Behold, to him that overcomes, I will grant with him to sit with me in my throne, as I have overcome, and sit down with my Father in his throne. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. That is Christ! Cease from your own effort. Take my grace and win. I love you.
Oh, hallelujah. While every head is bowed, Lord, thank you for your comfort today and encouragement to us. And Lord, thank you again for this wondrous way of grace. You so magnify that grace all the way along. Lord, help us to surrender and to submit and truly just fall in love with the grace of God. That's how we fall in love with you. It's not from, again, pictures on a wall or happy thoughts. It's this great, great grace. The great, great grace wherewith we are loved. Oh, Lord, may we magnify your grace. May we, again, just preach and rejoice and praise you only for your grace. We give you all the praise and glory for your wondrous grace. In Jesus' name, amen.